So the reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 15. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. This is the word of the Lord.
And we are going to delve into this passage in Corinthians. And it's come at a really good time. A statement of becoming, I think, hopefully, is going to pop up on the screen in a moment. Now, when we were first exploring this statement of becoming as a staff team at the back end of last year, I presented a version to the staff team and said, this is kind of what I'm thinking. And then we thrashed it around together and we added bits and took away bits and edited bits and changed a few bits around and changed the order and all those kind of things and came up with kind of what we're looking at today here. And at one stage, kind of just before we were ready to kind of press the go button on it and say, I think we're here, Helen Arnold said, I'd love it. I actually think it would be really important if this statement could represent our joy. And so we added that word joyfully. So we are disciples of Jesus who joyfully seek to share God's love by honoring one another. Now, what I've been discovering this week is just how prophetic that was. Just how significant that has been, that little addition, how significant that is for us as a church, as a parish, as a community going forward, because I've been learning this week just how significant joy is in our lives, not only in our lives as Christians, but also our lives as disciples, as we grow as disciples of Jesus. If joy is lacking, there's only so far our growth can go. There is a significant part of how God has made us that needs joy in order for us to grow and develop as Christians, as followers of Jesus. That words and teaching aren't enough. The experience of joy is hugely significant. And so as I've been reading that and reflecting on that, just the sheer joy I felt in the way that Helen obediently heard God back in October, November, and said, our statement needs to reflect joy. And now it's part of our statement of becoming, and I'm so excited about that. And when you think about joy, and when you think about the things that bring you joy, I wonder what some of those things are. What are the things you find joy and delight in when you gather together for worship in church, or when you think about your faith and your life with Jesus? What are the things that bring you joy? Maybe it's worship. Maybe it's prayer. Maybe it's gathering together as community. Maybe it's studying the Bible and reading his word and discovering new things about him. Maybe your joy is found in all kinds of different things that we do together as the body of Christ. And I wonder for how many of us here, how many of us is our joy found in our giving? How many of us find joy in giving. Now I'm going to enable you to breathe a sigh of relief. I am talking about joyfulness in giving. This is not a giving Sunday. I'm not asking you for more money today, okay? It's not a giving Sunday. It's not that kind of I'm preaching on this because we need more money thing. That will come later in the year. But I am preaching about this because this is a fundamental part of our discipleship as followers of Jesus. To discover what it means to give joyfully is a huge part of not only understanding what joy is all about and why it's important, but a huge part of our growth and development as disciples of Jesus, as we'll come on to discover. I wonder how many of us find joy in our giving. In the days of standing orders, most of us probably don't even think about our giving, let alone find joy in it. And so hopefully, looking at this letter, for this part of Paul's letter to Corinth, we're going to discover a little bit more about what that means. When I was a teenager and first came to faith, I came to faith at a church at a youth camp that was connected to a church in Seaford. And I became an altar server. So one Sunday out of four, I would put on my robes and I would help the vicar who was leading communion by passing him various pieces of communion equipment. That's not the right phrase, but hey. And one of my jobs was to pass around the collection plates during the Sunday morning service. And as the plate went round, some people would place money into the plate. I'm going to be honest, I noticed some people pretended to put money in the plate. And some people put loads, some people put a bit, some people just let it pass completely by them. This is the kind of days way before standing orders were really a thing, so most of it was going in the plate. But one thing I would not associate with that part of the service was joy. It wasn't a joyful part of the service. A hymn would be happening and it would be sort of just going around, just a standard part of the service. When I was 18, I went to Africa and things were very different there. I went to a church, an ordination service it was. The whole service was 5.5 hours long. But actually, when it came to the time of giving, out came a black bin. The kind of big black bins you see around. A black bin came out. And then the band began to play. And the pastor prayed for the giving and explained what the money was going to be going to that particular week. And people began to dance in their seats. And then they began to dance their way to the front to place in their offering. And then they danced back to their seats. The giving section of the service took 35 minutes of pure, utter joy. Now, many of them didn't have much to give at all. Now, we knew that because many of them were hosting us for the week and we knew what their situations were, but they were giving joyfully. For them, it wasn't about how much they were giving, but how they were giving, the heart behind they were giving. They had really locked in, I think, to what Paul was talking about here. They had discovered that it's not about what they give, but how they give, the heart behind their giving. And they had found joy in their giving. And it was beautiful to behold. Paul, just to give a bit of context to this letter, as Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, he's drawing to the end of this particular letter. I'm sure many of you are aware now that there are many letters between Paul and the church in Corinth. What we don't have is the correspondence from them to him. And it's actually thought that 1 Corinthians might actually be 2 Corinthians, and what we read as 2 Corinthians is probably 3 Corinthians. There are lots of kind of bits missing. But as he's drawing towards the end of this particular letter, where he's been talking a lot about grace and the significance and importance of grace. We know the Corinthian church was not without its problems. There were a lot of messes, a lot of things that Paul had to deal with. And he's writing to them, and as part of what he's writing to them, he's raising funds for the church in Jerusalem. The church in Jerusalem is doing an incredible work among the Jews at the time, reaching out to those who worship at the synagogue. They are seeing a tremendous growth through the Spirit of God and what God is doing there, and they're wanting to see God do more, but they need funding to do it. And so Paul is urging the church of Corinth, as as he writes to other churches as well, he's doing the same thing, encouraging them to give to this cause, to give money towards the church in Jerusalem. And Corinth was a city that was, as a city, was extremely wealthy. There was a lot of wealth in Corinth, but it was a few very wealthy people who made Corinth wealthy, and the fact that it was a trading port and other things as well made it a wealthy area. But the number of wealthy people was quite small, but the ones who were wealthy were extremely wealthy. Might have heard about that somewhere before in our culture today. But there we are, we have wealthy people. But in the church itself, there would have been one or two people with some wealth. Probably the people who were hosting probably were living in big enough houses to host a group of people, so had some element of wealth. But the majority of them wouldn't have been living in wealth, even though they were living in a wealthy city. And as I said, Paul is ultimately talking about this giving in the context of grace. And I think he makes a few important points that it's helpful for us to know when we think about joyful giving and what it looks like and why it's a good thing for us to do as Christians. And the first thing he says is that our giving needs to be intentional. He does that by using the phrase, you must give whatever you've decided in your hearts to give. Now, deciding in the heart is an important phrase that we don't necessarily use particularly today. And what Paul means by the heart is also linked with the will very much as well. And I think if you think about it and you think about yourselves and you think about the people you know, I think it's probably fair to say that giving, and particularly joyful giving, isn't a natural instinct in us. Really, is it? I mean, there's times we might feel, oh, I really want to give to this, and you're joyful about it. But the natural instinct in us is to make sure we've got enough, to make sure we're comfortable, and then maybe with what's left, we might do some giving. But what Paul is saying is that when you decide in your heart to give, when you make a decision, an intentional decision to want to give to something, then hopefully the will follow that as well. And there would be joy found in it. So our giving needs to be intentional. I think he does also kind of make it clear implicitly that giving isn't just for the wealthy, isn't just for the rich. He's asking everybody to consider and reflect on their giving, regardless of how much they can or can't give. As I saw in Africa, those people who had so little yet were able and willing to give. Thirdly, he does kind of talk really about the regularity of giving, about how giving regularly is a useful thing. Those who kind of sow much will reap much. That kind of suggests a bit of regularity to what it is he's calling his people to give to. It would also help the church in Jerusalem to know that there was regular income. You think about our mission partners. One-off individual gifts are a wonderful thing, of which they're very grateful. But what our mission partners need is to know that they're going to have enough each month to survive. So the regular giving becomes really important to them and therefore really important to us. One thing Paul does make it very clear about is that he doesn't want anyone's giving to be reluctant or even an obligation, or a sense of I feel I should, or I must, or I ought to. He wants our giving to be joyful. He wants us to know that giving can actually be fun and shouldn't really be painful. At times sacrificial, maybe. There are times God may call us to give sacrificially of ourselves, of our resources, of our finances. But even as we do that, there would be a joy found in the surrender of that and the trust of that that we have of God to provide. When he goes on to say towards the end of this passage how this is all about teaching us to trust the one who provides for us. We're growing in trust as we grow in not giving reluctantly and not begrudgingly, but joyfully. And then he goes on to say something that has been hugely misinterpreted in the church, that basically by giving we will receive. But we're not talking here prosperity gospel stuff. If you've heard that phrase, I'm sure it terrifies many of you. The whole concept that if you give, God will give in return. I'm going to be honest, I saw that in Africa as well. As well as the joyful, wonderful giving in one church, I went to another church where the pastor literally stood up and said, if you give today, you will receive a blessing, a double blessing, a triple blessing from God. If you don't give, there's no blessing for you. Now, we know that's not scriptural. That's not true. That's not accurate. That's not right. That's not how our God works. And it's not a case of, oh, if you give, then God will bless you loads and loads with loads of finances and loads of money besides. And I'm not saying that God doesn't do that, that God isn't generous. God is generous. God does love to surprise us and bless us and encourage us and give to us because we're his children. He loves to give for the sake of giving. But what he doesn't want to happen is for us to say, oh, well, if I give this, then maybe God will give me this. Or if I'm really kind, then maybe God will be kind back to me. Because there's actually something very, very significant that happens in this passage that we don't see in our English translation. At the beginning, Paul is saying, those who reap generously, or sow generously, will reap generously. He's talking to individuals there. He's saying, I want every one of you to consider your giving. I want every one of you to think about how you personally give. I want every one of you to learn how to give joyfully when you give to the work in Jerusalem, or whatever it may be that you give to. I want you to give joyfully. But in verse 11, if we can have verse 11 up, Paul, I don't know, that hasn't got the verses on it, has it? Yeah, you will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. What happens in verse 11 is that view switches straight away to the plural. He's no longer talking in a singular. So what he's saying is, if you as individuals are able to give joyfully, then you as a church community will benefit from that generosity. You together will grow as disciples of Jesus, as the individuals within you begin to give generously. And the reason for that is because there is a change that happens in us when we give joyfully. A significant change. Because of the connection to joy, and the connection to giving, and the connection to generosity, the connection to trusting in God, the connection to surrendering the things that God has given us, there is a change and a growth that happens in us that is significant. He's not saying that you as a church will suddenly become very wealthy. What he's saying is you as a church will grow in righteousness. You will grow. As you give joyfully, you will grow as a people. And others will be aware of your generosity, and they will be blessed, not necessarily by the money you give, but by the fact you are a generous people. And I think, I'm willing to say that I think we have actually seen that genuinely right in front of our eyes as a parish. Because 4 years ago, we started a food bank and a hardship fund. Now, over the course of those 4 years, we have helped and blessed and served many people. We've given away over £4,500 to people who are in need in that time, who without that, we never probably would have met. We never would have known.
And they have now turned to us to say, can we have a church, please? Now, how does that not bless us? That blesses us, isn't it? As a community, does that not warm your heart and encourage you that because we were generous as individuals, and then we were generous to those who were in need, from that has come relationship and community and blessing and even baptisms? Can you see what Paul is saying here? Is that if the individuals learn to give joyfully, then the corporate will benefit from that generosity. And it's a beautiful thing when it happens. A really beautiful thing. And a joyful thing. And what we give to God comes back to us as joy, I think. If we give joyfully, we receive joyfully. If we give knowing that our God is going to provide, we will see him be faithful. And that will grow our sense of his faithfulness, our understanding of his faithfulness, of his goodness. We will see that he is the one who provides for the harvest. It's all his anyway, is it not? God wants us to learn, to grow, to be joyful givers, not only because he wants us to be generous, but also because he knows how significant joy is in our lives. How much we're going to grow as disciples of Jesus as we understand more about what joy means. And joyful giving, goodness me, what a powerful, powerful force. force in the world. And so I'm not standing here today saying give more money. What I'm saying is this, what I'm asking is this. Currently, is your giving joyful? And if it's not, would it look any different if it was? Would it change how you give? What you give? What you give to? When you give? Would it change what you hope will happen when you give? Because God's, this is one of the wonderful things about joy, is how we have the ability to delight God. God delights in us. Now, is there any better motive for giving than to know delight God? Don't give because the church needs money. Don't give because it's a charity. Don't give because that charity needs your money. All good reasons. But to know, I mean, God will delight in you anyway, even if you don't give. But there is something about just knowing that when we give joyfully, then it brings joy to Him too. And by that we will grow. We will grow as a group of people in our generosity. Because here's the thing that's amazed me about the pantry, or I wasn't necessarily going to say this bit. But the thing that's really amazed me is we've never not had enough to give. Even though the need has been growing hugely over the past 2 years, we've never not had enough to give from day one. I remember the very good third pantry we had,
and somebody turned up desperately needing nappies in a particular size and we didn't have them. And then 10 minutes later, somebody walked through the door and donated that size of nappy. We've never not had enough to give to those in need. And I think it's because you guys have sown so generously and God is reaping generously.
And the more we feel able to give joyfully, the more people we can help and bless and serve. And we will grow through that experience. And I believe this church has grown through that experience too, as we are seeing at all things. So, don't ask whether you need to give more. Just ask, is my giving joyful? And if it's not, would it be any different if it was?